Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is February 5th, 2025. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 44,873, the NASDAQ at 19,692, and the S&P at 6,061. Tonight, I'm talking about considering personal insurance options. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in. If you have questions more complicated, you're welcome to submit those through yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, tonight we're talking about risk management in considering your personal insurance options. And with me this evening, I'm happy to invite and welcome my guest, Tom Wolf of the Wolf Insurance Agency. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you, Lori. Pleasure being here.
Thank you. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your agency?
Well, our agency is located in Lower Nazareth Township, and we are a full-service agency. We do personal lines, we do life insurance, and we have a staff of 14, which are very knowledgeable, and we're an independent agency, which means basically we have various companies that can pretty much insure your specific needs, as not every company wants every risk. Mm. So therefore, we can somewhat shop it for you and get the best coverages with the best competitive price.
That's great. And we're going to talk a little bit about your history as we go through the show, because managing risk is such a critical factor in our financial decisions. And I really would like to help our audience understand better what to consider when covering risk with insurance. We insure against risk for some of our most important assets, our homes, our cars, our lives. But with that, there are so many considerations. And I do think it's hard sometimes for people to understand all of the moving parts of that. So maybe you could give an overview of what are some of the initial considerations someone should think about at the front of these decisions. For example, you mentioned that you're an independent agency and you can shop around. So maybe you could talk first about there's options of where someone goes to get insurance and what that looks like.
There are a lot of options for everybody out there. You have the independent agency, which does represent and are licensed to do business with various multiple companies. You do have what they call captive agents, which they represent a specific company. Certainly at this day and age, you do have online companies. Now, when you do the online, you're basically clicking yourself coverages. So you may or may not understand what you're clicking.
Mm.
So in that regards, unless you're very well versed on the coverages and your exposures, especially for actually any age, because insurance has become more complicated over the years. It's evolving pretty much almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's coverages now that are in all types of policies that weren't even thought of 10 years ago.
Mm.
Now they are relatively important coverages for everybody to consider.
So from your experience, and you said you're your agency has grown. You have a staff of 14.
Yes.
So there are a lot of people there with a lot of probably experience and various experiences personally even.
Yeah, we have a good mix of experience, of knowledge, as well as a good mix with young, energetic people that are learning the business. Been learning it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody in the office knows everything about every policy. You know, certain people are more geared to, okay, we handle certain segments of the business.
But you can rely on each other
and
say, hey,
correct.
This one knows the ins and outs of this.
Yes.
So let's pretend we have a young person who is needing insurance for the first time. And they explore their options, whether it's one of these captive insurance, online insurance, or they want to go with a more local presence, someone who can do the shopping for them and give them kind of that experienced overview of it. Typically, we might see young people for the first time, they might need auto insurance, but I want to talk about that in a minute. But where we might see a need might be renter's insurance. Because
yes.
I know my own children, my husband and I, we got renter's insurance. But again, because we worked with a local agent my entire life now, and still do work with a local agent, they tell us that. They say, hey, you need renter's insurance. Now, if you're just fresh off the street going to rent and you're not working with someone local, they might not be, the captive insurances aren't calling out to you saying, hey, get renter's insurance, but you might alert someone. So tell me what that looks like.
Well, renter's insurance, if somebody graduates from college, goes out on their own, rents an apartment, your furnishings, everybody has a certain value within their apartment. And if you look around, you see the news that happens almost daily anymore, unfortunately, where, you know, there's fires, and a lot of these are apartment buildings. But if you have to replace your furniture, your clothing, your knickknacks, your bicycles, anything you have in there, to start over will be very expensive. It's expensive if you're a young person or an older person. Not only that, you have your liability coverage. In a case where there is somebody's injured on your property, or say we'll refer this to young people, they have a party,
right?
And somebody maybe has one too many from that party and has an accident, and they say, well, we were at such and such's home, or apartment, and they can get named in some type of a suit, but they have their liability protection under the renter's insurance, which can protect them not only from the property losses, but from any liability exposures.
You know, Tom, it's funny. I hadn't even thought of that. Now, I mean, because when I thought of my children getting renter's insurance, it was always about the personal property and protecting
yes.
that. Never thought about the liability.
And quite honestly, you can recover from the property loss quicker than you recover from a liability loss.
Wow.
Because it could be a lot larger.
Wow. So parents really should pay attention to this as well.
Yes.
Now, if I can ask a question then about the renter's insurance, if someone goes off on their own, they go to college, their second year, quite often they're on campus the first year, second year, they might get an apartment. They're an adult now. Can they still get insurance through their parents if they're like a student, for example, or would they have to buy it for themselves?
If they're a student, say somebody's son or daughter goes to Penn State, if as an undergraduate, if they're in the dorm, I can't speak for every company, but most companies you'll get 10% while you're at college for your belongings.
Mm.
So no, they don't have to buy anything. Some people do, but it truly isn't for the most part necessary because they do have coverage there. Now, say they're in grad school and going for their doctorate and living in an apartment, then they should have their own.
Mm-hmm.
Then they should have it.
Okay, good to know. Folks, we are talking with Tom Wolf of Wolf Insurance Agency. Do you say Wolf Insurance Agency?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
And we're talking about personal liability and some considerations in that. We're going to be talking about auto and homeowners and umbrella. So all those kinds of little details that we need to know more about when we're obtaining insurance. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you to all of WDIY's generous sustaining members. Setting up an automatic monthly gift on your credit card is the easiest way to support your listening and ensure WDIY remains a strong and thriving public resource. Become a sustaining member of WDIY today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit WDIY.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or give your question to Cindy and she'll bring it in. We are speaking with Tom Wolf of Wolf Insurance Agency, talking about how to understand the considerations in personal liability insurance, or what do you say? Is that what you say? Personal liability?
Personal liability,
okay.
Yes.
I don't know all the insurance lingo, but we just were talking about the importance of renter's insurance. Big aha moment for me about making sure, you know, if you're renting, to have liability insurance as well. It's not just covering your belongings. Let's go through the kind of the life of someone obtaining insurance. So I want to move on to auto insurance, and let's start with, as parents, we might have new drivers. In the household, teenage drivers, and we're going to put them on our policy. Can you talk about that for a minute? What does that look like? What do we have to think about or consider?
Well, they need to be on the policy. When most companies, again, I can't speak for every company, but if they have their permit, they don't have to be listed on the policy. Once they're licensed, they have to be listed to have the proper insurance. Now, what does that do to the parent's policy? It goes up. It doesn't matter the company, it goes up. Some things you want to make sure of, if they can take driver training, that's kind of not what it used to be, because you have to take it in school and pay a fee for it. So you don't see as much as that. But the key is that, and what has improved, I know when I was young, or probably when you were young, you could get your permit on Thursday and take your test and have your license on Friday.
Absolutely, yeah.
now they have to have it 6 months for
right.
a permit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think over the years that has improved. They still have to learn to drive in all conditions. As we see, we're getting bad weather the next few days. And you don't learn that overnight. So it's a continual process. But once they're on, people ask this question many times. Should we put my son or daughter on their own policy, or should we leave them on our policy? For the most part, price-wise, it comes out pretty much the same. If they're only driving a car with your permission, they're driving it to a band practice or a
school.
Football practice or a school, or they have a part-time job, and with your permission, they're driving it. That's fine. If you buy a car for them, basically, and it's their car, that's going to be driving it. Now, what that does, the more drivers you have on your policy, the more is your exposure. So mm-hmm. if the son or daughter has their own car for themselves, say they're 18 or 19, they get a car, the parents may want, you know, one, if they do that, you title it in your son or daughter's name. And then they have their own policy. Now, if the car would be titled in my name or your name as a parent, you could get tied into it on an extreme case. They have an accident. They run a red light. Why did they run a red light? Not because they weren't paying attention or they were on their phone, because the car didn't have brakes.
Mm.
Now, mom or dad is the owner of the car. Mm. They can get tied in on that. So if they do go out on their own with their own car, with their own policy, you always want to make sure as a parent to put the car in their name.
Okay. So, and I learned recently that you don't even have to be 18 to be able to own a car. A 17-year-old, in Pennsylvania anyway, can buy a car.
Correct.
Can a 17-year-old also get insurance on their own?
You can. Yes, okay. They can get it. It's okay. It's not inexpensive, but you can get
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now when we're buying the auto insurance, we have to pay attention to a number of facets of that. So what kind of car, where are they driving? Can you kind of go through some of those considerations?
The older the car, you have comprehensive and collision. Collision is you hit something. You hit a pole, you hit a car, you hit an object. Comprehensive is fire, theft, vandalism, like that, anything like that.
A stone hitting your windshield is comprehensive?
Yes.
Okay.
You hit a deer.
Oh,
that's comprehensive.
Okay.
The older the car, here's how I always equate it. You look, the value of the car plus your deductible, you take, what's the value of that car then?
Mm.
In other words, you have save you $1,000 deductible and you have a $4,000 car, do you want to spend $600 for collision for that car?
Mm-hmm.
So you already have the $1,000 deductible plus the premium versus the value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I think it's a good way to equate it,
mm-hmm.
to equate it. So that's, the newer cars, it's all electronic. So even a windshield, you know, used to be maybe $500. Now you can go as high as $2,000 because you got cameras in there, you got sensors, you got everything that has to be reprogrammed. Your side mirrors have mm-hmm. accident prevention and cameras, everything. So all those things you'd think of that's no big deal, is now an expensive, now has become very expensive. So the repair cost of these cars has grown considerably,
mm-hmm.
considerably. Another thing, away from the physical damage, which is misunderstood or not understood at all, is your tort options.
Mm-hmm. I especially wanted you to talk about that.
You know, you have full tort and limited tort, and you have to have one or the other. And full tort, basically what full tort is, it's just if you're involved in an accident and you are injured, doesn't matter what your injury may be, whether you have a broken finger or you have two broken arms and two broken legs and everything else wrong with you. If you want to bring a damage suit against the other party, that's your decision. Limited tort says you waive your rights to suit unless you're permanently disabled, disfigured, or death. Now, there's no list of these 10 things are major injuries. These 10 things are not. So it goes by, a lot of it's been court decisions that have decided some of these things. But limit tort is less expensive than full tort, but you do give us some options. Now, also, there's a few cases where if you select limited tort, you automatically get full tort. Say you're involved in, one example is if you're involved with a drunk driver. A drunk driver runs a red light and hits you and you're injured. It doesn't matter what option you selected, you have full tort.
Okay.
So that's one. There are two or three other examples. That's a big example that people can understand. So that's something that's misunderstood, but it's an important decision. The price, full tort is more expensive. It's not drastic,
mm-hmm.
but it is more expensive. But mm-hmm. it's an option that you have to consider. And you want to make it a decision for yourself.
And that could apply to the driver or the passenger for the tort coverage?
If you're hurt, we're in a car, you and me are together, and we're in an accident, and I'm hurt, I'm driving, and you're the passenger, doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter if somebody ran a red light and hit us, or if I ran a red light. Any your medical bills and my go back to my policy, your medicals go to your policy.
Mm.
Your tort options initially would go through your policy as well.
Oh, okay.
It can also happen where, say, you don't have any insurance.
Right.
Say you're not a licensed driver, and then it would go to the driver's car right away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's your tort option. Now, liability would go to the at-fault driver,
okay.
whether it be the car you're in or the other car.
Okay, we're going to talk about that as we continue our discussion. But, Tom, I'm already having lots of aha moments. Back to, like, the cost of repairs now when we're talking about deductibles, and we're going to go back to to talking okay. about that and how it impacts the premiums as well. Folks, if you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and Bob will run it into us. We are talking with Tom Wolf of Wolf Insurance Agency about your considerations in personal liability insurance. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY. Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11 offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also submit questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. I'm speaking with Tom Wolf of Wolf Insurance Agency this evening, talking about some of the considerations in obtaining personal liability insurance. We've started talking about renter's insurance, and now we're doing auto insurance, and we're going to also talk about homeowners, umbrella, and hopefully some life as we go through the show. Talking about all those, what do you call them? Would they be the aspects of the policy? What do you call that when someone's considering the collision, the comprehensive, the deductible, the personal liability? What do you call those in your vernacular of insurance agency, your options?
Yes. There's, you have different options of different liability limits, medical coverage limits, uninsured, underinsured motorist limits, and then deductibles with comprehensive and collision.
Okay. I would say, Tom, that I think that probably a lot of people, when they're obtaining insurance, are relying on the insurance agent to figure this out for them.
It's complicated. It's become something that used to be a lot simpler.
Yeah.
Now it's become more complicated.
Yeah, because too, depending on what state you live in, is probably
correct.
You know, you hear things about no fault. I don't know if we even want to talk about that. I have no idea what those things mean. But let's go back for a moment to the auto insurance. We were talking about the different kinds of coverage. One thing we said, collision, you want to pay attention to that in particular, depending on the value of the car. So you would help someone navigate that, whether it makes sense to have collision or not.
Yes.
Some people still might want it, even though they're paying a lot of money for a collision
they're not
going to get anything. And then the comprehensive coverage is when it's some other act,
to make it as simple as I can. Collision, you hit something. Comprehensive, something hits you.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
And then you said that, you know, quite often someone might think, oh, $500 deductible, or, you know, maybe I'll raise my deductible to whatever amount to reduce my premium. And that could impact the premium. So I want you to kind of touch on that for a moment more. But in regards to your comment that it could be really much more expensive now to fix things like a windshield and like the side view mirrors because they're more electronic. So what is that thought when we're looking at the deductibles? If someone doesn't have really the means, they might take a $500 deductible. They'd pay a little bit more in a premium, but things cost so much more now. So
everybody has a different comfort level.
Okay.
So if you're uncomfortable with a higher deductible because, you know, we do hear it, well, I couldn't come up with that right away. And that some people, that would be difficult. So whatever your comfort level is, and other people say, well, you know, I'd rather save the money and have the higher deductible. So whatever you feel comfortable with is the best the best way to go.
Okay. So the deductible can help move the premium
a
little bit.
Yes.
Okay. And the collision, if you have collision or not, it's going to move the premium a little bit. If we have multiple drivers or multiple cars. Does that help with the premium?
Yes. There's a lot of different discounts. That's a multi-car discount.
Okay.
You have a home and or renter's insurance. Yeah, it's a multi-policy discount.
Okay.
You have, which is now a new wrinkle in the past few years. Your policy comes due March 1st. If you call February 28th, you're going to get the rate's going to be higher than if you called February the 15th. Mm. A lot of companies have an 8-day advance quote window, which they give you a discount for.
Mm.
You know, your safe driver discounts. You know, all that gets factored into it. You know, right now everybody uses metrics, analytics, and the whole nine yards. So when they run everything through with the driver's license and all the numbers, it formulates a lot of pricing within that. And then you can add discounts and whatever you qualify for.
Do they know how fast I'm going through the toll booths?
No. They might. I don't know. They might. They know a lot more than I. And I don't know what goes through those metrics. Probably hundreds of things. And okay. it just goes through it.
So we were talking about the make, the model, perhaps how far you're driving, because that can make a difference, right? If I'm commuting to Philadelphia now, I've changed, and now I'm remote, I'm working from home, I've never taken the car out except to go to the grocery store. That's something you want to alert your agent to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you use your car, it depends on the miles. If you use a car to commute to work, 5 miles versus 50 miles, that's one thing. If you use your, and this happens in this area where we live, if you're commuting in New York, New Jersey, that generates a different rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because New York and New Jersey are different. It's a little different
right,
over there.
Right.
What's happening, again, we discussed this a little bit with new drivers or younger drivers. Well, not all ages, really. You know, have your DoorDash or Uber Eats, everything like that. The way it's Uber Eats, they have some type of general policy, but it's only why you're on the move, basically, with me as a, you know, with your goods in the car. Your auto policy will exclude that for the most part, unless you have some type of an endorsement on your personal auto policy. So if you do that, if you are doing some type of delivery type thing, the Uber Eats, you want to make sure.
Oh, you call your agent.
Yes.
So you think you're just making a little extra income and you don't realize you could have exposure.
You do have the exposure and you may not have coverage.
Ah.
And different companies are different, a little different with that, but it's very possible you don't have the coverage.
Wow. And then the limited and full tort, that's something to be addressed with people. Personal liability.
Well,
so
one thing that's very, very misunderstood, I just popped in my head, mm-hmm. is your uninsured, underinsured motorist.
Mm-hmm.
People think, well, that protects me from, if somebody doesn't have insurance, that'll fix my car. It has nothing to do with the car itself, only for bodily injury. So say somebody is involved in an accident with somebody who has no insurance,
mm-hmm.
or somebody has a very poor policy limits, and they're injured. I read a red light and I hit you, and you're severely injured, and I have no insurance. You would have coverage for your pain and suffering under your uninsured motorist coverage.
Mm.
It doesn't protect somebody without insurance. It protects you from someone.
Mm.
So that's an option on the policy.
Mm.
And underinsured is they just don't have the proper insurance. So basically, the coverage then doesn't come through my policy because I don't have one uninsured. It would come through your own policy for your pain and suffering.
Mm. And do you, I have 1 minute before our break.
Okay.
Do you see people not having that, being a victim of not having that uninsured?
Well, no, most people, I have it, but not everybody has insurance.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what, you know, or you see more people don't have the proper limits
right.
that are really needed.
So if you're advising someone, they come in, you're suggesting you should probably have this uninsured motorist coverage in case someone hits you and they don't have insurance, you're going to have some coverage, right?
Right.
Because there are people out there who don't have insurance. Okay. All right, folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And I'm speaking with Tom Wolf of Wolf Insurance Agency, and we will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. Bob and Cindy are standing by. We can talk live with you, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to them and they'll bring it into the studio. Tom, this has been a great discussion. It's so funny because, you know, I am in financial services. Part of what we do is financial planning. And one of the elements of someone's financial life that we like to review is their risk management. And we're typically looking for the kind of coverages they have. We're looking at those endorsement pages. That's a good place people could start if they need to review. After listening to us tonight, they could pull out those I call them the endorsement pages, and look and see if they see things like tort or limited liability or personal liability or uninsured, right?
Yes.
And you have a website for the agency if people want more information. And the name of the website is?
www.wolfinsurance.com.
Wolfinsurance.com. Okay. So let's talk, and we're going to, at the end, probably bring some of the same considerations together when, you know, as applicable to any kind of insurance review. Let's move to homeowners, because I know we have personal liability in homeowners as well. But let's talk about some of the considerations there for homeowners insurance, if you could kind of give an overview, and then we'll dig in a little bit.
Well, homeowners, as everybody knows, homeowners' prices are skyrocketing. Basically, the reason for the skyrocketing prices, building costs, the materials are just going through the roof, so to speak. When you insure a home, you want to insure what it costs to rebuild, to replace a home, not what you paid for it. You may have made a good buy, you may have made a bad buy, but what it would cost to rebuild. And the cost to rebuild usually, especially for older homes, the cost to rebuild is usually a bigger difference than the selling price. Different materials were used, different construction, different everything. So you want to make sure if you can rebuild the home and on a replacement cost. If you don't have replacement cost coverage, which our agency, that's what we do, but if they come and depreciate everything, you wouldn't get back to where you were. Mm-hmm. And that goes not only for the building, but for your contents. So you want everything on a replacement cost basis and to ensure to the replacement value.
Okay, so that's really important because you said some people resist that.
Yes, it's the answer you hear a lot is, well, I couldn't sell it for that. Mm-hmm. And that's very possible. But if something happens to rebuild that building, this is what it will cost. And the cost there, when you have to if you have it's damaged by fire or smoke damage, it doesn't have to be something that's burned to the ground. Smoke damage, when there's smoke in the home, it's in the whole house. Mm-hmm. It gets in the drawers. It gets in the kitchen cabinets. It gets all over. So all those costs are included in that. So you want to make sure that all that is on a replacement basis. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. I think that's one of the most important things in a homeowner's policy.
My brother has a home in Michigan, and he was away, and they lost power, I think it was. I don't know exactly the details, but somehow the heater went out and then the pipes froze. Yes. And flooding everywhere. Yes. And there was second floor laundry, I think. And so it went down from the second floor all the way to the basement. Walls, ceilings.
Yes.
Tons of damage. And the replacement cost was well more than what he had thought the house was worth. And it took months.
You know, it doesn't have to be. Everybody just thinks of fire. Well, that's the common thought. But there's pipe damage. And in this weather, you do get that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes in the upstairs bathroom, I've been in homes like that. It's it's amazing how much damage is actually done and the cost. You know, just the time frame to prepare to rebuild, it can take months, 2 months, 3 months sometimes, because you got to do, you got to take out drywall, you got to take out the rug, you got to do all these things just to get ready to get started again.
Yeah, and what was interesting is my brother actually had receipts for everything in the house that he had ever done.
That's rare.
That's what he said. And they even tried to give him some extra money. He said, no, no, it was only this. My replacement was only this. I didn't spend that money. So, I mean, he was like a little angel working with the insurance.
He was a dream come
people.
True for the adjuster.
Yes. So it all worked out for him. So we want to think about replacement value. There's also deductibles on homeowners policies.
Again, really, the starting point nowadays is pretty much $1,000 deductible.
Okay.
You know, you're talking $2,500 deductible, $5,000 deductible. You know, really, in some of these cases, you have $500,000 homes or $400,000 homes are now middle class homes.
Right.
And they're beautiful homes, but they're not, you know, just for the really elite. If something small happens, most people can, if it's a major loss, you're not really concerned that much what your deductible is.
Right.
The larger deductible does knock out a few smaller claims, but if it's something major, you'll be fine.
Okay. What about the personal liability?
Well, the liability is part of every homeowner's policy.
Okay.
And
that's for like if someone falls on your sidewalk or does something in your yard or.
Yeah, or say you have a swimming pool. You have a swimming pool, you have a bigger exposure. Say your kids leave their skateboard outside and somebody steps on it and gets injured.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of exposures in a home from a liability standpoint. You know, dogs are a big thing. You know, there's a lot of dogs that insurance companies don't want to write because they're vicious, because they have a history of bites. So that's coming in the underwriting process as well. Mm-hmm. You know, what people have to really understand, you know, when you're asking on the underwriting questions, basically the underwriter wants to know what risk they're taking on.
Because
something happens, they have to pay.
Right. So what's the environment? What's the neighborhood? What's in the yard? What's not in the yard?
Yeah. Or you have railings on the steps.
Do you have what?
Railings.
Oh.
On the outdoor steps.
Oh.
You have, you have one step or two steps, you're okay. You have three or more, they want a railing. Or the sidewalk's cracked. You know, it's a tree uproot the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm. We just had all of our sidewalks flattened out. I wish I knew the company's name off the top of my head. They were fabulous. Yeah. Flattened it right out with some cool things.
So the liability gets underwritten as much as the building itself.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about some of those particular risks one might have depending on where they're living. So I think of flood, fire, sinkhole,
sewer
septic. Yeah. So could you talk about some of those? And is that always obvious? Is that covered usually through the questionnaire that the insurance agent is doing when you're doing underwriting?
Sinkhole is not included under the base policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's by an endorsement. As we saw today, there was one in Bethlehem.
Oh, no.
There was one in Bethlehem. I forget the address, but there was one in Bethlehem that I saw, I guess yesterday it happened or the day before. But there's no rhyme or reason where that can happen. There's no place, sinkholes are susceptible here and not susceptible there. And I was at a meeting, you know, quite a few years ago now, but there was a geologist there. And basically what he said was sinkholes aren't a new phenomenon. They always were there. But they were in the middle of cornfields. So now you have housing developments. You have different things there. And we're built, this area is a lot of limestone, and that creates a lot of the sinkholes. Now what a sinkhole does cover, there has to be damage to the house. Basically, if you have a hole in the back of your yard, that's not going to provide coverage. There has to be damage to the house with a sinkhole. Sewer and drain is something backs up through a sewer and drain.
Is that an endorsement as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you have a fixed up basement. Something gets, you have a younger kid, something gets thrown down the toilet and, you know, overflows. So that's, it's an important coverage. Mm-hmm. I feel it's important coverage. And there's different limits you can take, and there's different exposures you have. Now, flood coverage, if you live in a floodplain. If you don't live in a floodplain, you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, people, they only get it if they live in a floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be a flood. So basically what people think, say it's the summer, and it hasn't rained for a month, and the ground's solid like a rock. All of a sudden, we get a torrential downpour, and water comes pouring in the house. That's not a flood.
Oh.
And if you don't have sewer and drain backup, and again, the sewer and drain has to be overflow because of all that water, then that would provide coverage. But just the water flowing in there, that's a different story.
Oh, so interesting.
So flood, it has to be a flood.
Okay.
A flood from now, a body of water, basically.
But if we had a hurricane... So a hurricane would not...
That's wind damage.
Oh, wind damage.
That's wind
okay.
damage.
Okay, because sometimes there's a lot of water that comes with a hurricane.
Well, if the hurricane comes, high winds, blows your roof off, the rain comes in, you have coverage.
Okay.
Because the damage was the roof that allowed the rain to come in.
Okay.
And which is, that would, so the roof, everything's covered there.
Okay. So you're going to help the people who need the insurance navigate the endorsements that they may need. There's also endorsements for some personal property. So we think of expensive jewelry or instruments or artwork.
Right.
Can you talk about when an endorsement for that type of property might be important?
Well, the most widely used one is jewelry.
Okay.
It could be an engagement ring or an anniversary ring or necklace or whatever. You'll need an appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, you'll need an appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
You do have some... And again, the difference of the different policies, you do have jewelry coverage under your homeowners. It is limited. Now, when you endorse a ring on there for, say, I'll just say $15,000 ring, then it's covered for $15,000. And it's in addition to any coverage you have under the base policy. And it would give you some additional coverages for many companies. Say you have a diamond ring and you lose the diamond, the setting comes loose, you would have coverage.
Okay.
If it's stolen or, you know, anything. So that it does give you some additional coverages, and it is coverage for that amount. It's good, which not everybody does, but if you have an appraisal, get an appraisal every few years.
Say interesting.
3 to 5 years. Because you know, what would you pay for a diamond ring today in 5 years? I don't know.
Mm, that's a good point, though, too, about the replacement value. So is that just part of the review when you're renewing your policy with your insurance agent, because the replacement values could have gone up as well for the homes. Do you have to up your replacement value, or it's automatic?
It's for the most part, it's automatic. Now, we do encourage people, if you put on an addition,
okay,
let us know.
Okay.
Because then it increases the value. But they do increase the home value. It basically goes by the index of every location.
Mm-hmm.
So, say home building costs here went up 3%. They're going to, if you have a $100,000 home, it's not going to be $103,000 of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They do that automatically to protect themselves as well as the insured.
Okay. All right. We are at our last break, I believe. We still have about a minute, but I'm going to try to wrap this quickly so we can come back sooner. We are talking with Tom Wolf of Wolf Insurance Agency. I want to make sure that we touch on umbrella insurance and a little bit on life insurance, if we can, with the time that we have remaining. There's still time if you have questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. Podcasts of prior programs are also available at WDIY.org under Public Affairs or on many streaming services, as well as YourFinancialChoices.com. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You could also submit questions through YourFinancialChoices.com, and I can get those to Tom Wolf if applicable. And they also have a website, wolfinsurance.com. So we have been talking about renter's insurance, auto insurance, homeowner's insurance, and some of the various options relating to each of those different kinds of policies. And as I've said, I've had some aha moments tonight. So this is always wonderful to share this educational information with our listeners. I want to talk about umbrella insurance. I think several years ago, we didn't even hear about umbrella insurance unless you were probably the insurance agent. I want to talk about the importance of umbrella insurance, why it's important, why it might be important. And do you see people getting umbrella insurance these days?
You do. Umbrella insurance, it does not take the place of anything. It's another layer of protection. And it protects any of the underlying policy. So it could be your auto policy, your homeowner's policy, a boat policy, say you have a jet ski or whatever. All your underlying exposures could be listed on there. Now you need specific limits under those underlying policies for the umbrella to be valid. Does everybody need an umbrella policy? I get the more you have, the more you need it.
The more assets you have,
yes,
you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because of suing,
yes,
you're thinking.
You know, so you have, if you have, you know, you've been fortunate in life, you have a little, some extra, you're more, your need for an umbrella is greater. If you're just getting started out, you know, your need and exposure isn't as great.
Because someone could sue you and you say, I have nothing,
yeah.
go for it.
Yeah. Now, what are your exposures? You know, again, we mentioned pool before. A pool's a big exposure. If you have a pool, we recommend everybody has a pool to get one.
I do.
It can be for, you know, we've had situations where, you know, they have a pool there and they're in bed sleeping, you know, five houses down the road, they're having a party and they say, let's jump over the fence and jump in somebody's pool and somebody gets hurt. So, your exposure is there. All companies will require it to be fenced in.
Yes, yes.
That's not
even
optional.
The townships quite often.
That's
do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Even if it's an above ground pool, you know, they'll want a lock gate or lock ladder there, mm-hmm. and so on. So, again, the umbrella is important. You could have a seasonal home. You could have a home at the beach or the mountains or whatever. You know, that would be under there. So all your exposures would be under that umbrella. Obviously, the more you have, the more it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, from a price standpoint, it's not expensive.
Right. That's what
The base policies are based on two cars and one house. Anything over that, there's additional coverage and additional pricing. But it's not an expensive policy. It's as well as renters it's not an expensive
mm-hmm.
policy.
Right, right.
So those are two policies which are important and don't carry a big premium.
The umbrella insurance, as it might relate to auto. So we talked about things that might happen with the home. What might happen with the auto that an umbrella policy could help give that extra layer of coverage?
Say you're at fault in an accident. You run a red light. You hit a car and there's four people in that car. All are injured. Your auto policy liability limits may be enough for one, but not enough for four.
Oh, very good.
If those limits under your auto policy are exceeded, the umbrella would kick in.
Okay, all right.
So it's always excess of the underlying policy. Same with the home. Somebody has a serious, somebody seriously injured at your home for whatever reason, those liability limits under the home are exhausted, the umbrella would kick in.
Okay, very good. Are there other insurance? We're going to talk about life if we've got a few minutes here. But you also just quickly had mentioned jet ski, and then I thought motorcycle. So people need a boat. So those are also extra...
Those are all separate policies.
Separate policies that people need to make sure that they're considering.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Let's talk about life insurance for a moment.
Certainly.
So not all insurance agencies... You might have insurance agency that just sell property and casualty, but might not do life.
That's correct.
But Wolf Agency also does life.
Yes, we do.
And there's different kinds of life policies as well. So there's a term and there's a whole life. Can you kind of explain the differences in those where one might be more applicable for someone?
A term policy is for a term. Mm-hmm. It will end at a certain time. It could be a 20-year term, 30-year term, and so on. Now, when a you can get more coverage for less with a term policy, but it will end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it ends, then... Say you bought it at 30, you have a 25-year term, and you're now 55. So now it's more expensive. It's mm-hmm. more expensive. Now, an example when most for a term policy is, say you have a young family, you have 2, 3, 4 kids. Say you have 2 kids in college at the same time, and boy, if something happens, you know, mm-hmm. everybody's in trouble. The kids mm-hmm. are in trouble. My wife's in trouble. You know, her husband's in trouble. It's in a jam. So there is a good idea, you know, to get the term insurance. Whole life, again, would be more expensive, but that'll last till the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll stick with you. So some people even combine it somewhat. You know, okay, we need, because your financial hardship is greater when you're 35, 40, than when you're 75 or 80.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, then you're hopefully, your bills are paid.
Yeah, we hope so.
But so they'll combine, you know, say a smaller whole life with a larger term. That does happen sometimes. Not all the time, but it does happen. But when you have a young family term, you can get a lot more coverage.
Because it's not just, you know, it could be lost wages. So particularly if you have a couple, two spouses that both work and one loses a job, that's at least there's a surviving spouse that's still working.
Right.
But sometimes the earning spouse is the one who passes. And now we might have a stay at home spouse who doesn't have capacity to earn enough to go on. So you're looking at how much are you insuring with that term? It could be for a certain term period of time, but it could be lost wages. It could be a mortgage. It could be education.
Yes.
And you have formulas or factors that you're plugging in to kind of figure out what that need might be?
Yes, we can help along with that. Yes, certainly.
Okay.
It's a different, the hardship, what the life insurance does, you know, it's going to be hardship because somebody passed away,
mm-hmm.
but that at least alleviates some of the financial hardships
that could be
avoided.
Right. Good point. It is just the financial hardships. And then whole life, you said for the whole life, but sometimes I thought I've seen, and I'm not insurance licensed, but I thought I've seen where a whole life might end at age 100. So it might not be a whole life if it is to 103. Is that actually a whole life policy or is that some other kind of policy?
No, that's a whole life policy. See, a whole life policy, that can happen where they end at 100, but a whole life policy will accumulate a cash value. And sometimes you get to a certain point where the cash value just increases that it can keep it going.
Okay.
It can keep it going past. And a whole life, you can pay that forever, or you can say, I don't want to be paying for a life policy when I'm older. I want to pay, say, in 20 years. And have it done. Now your premiums will be higher, but you're going to pay for it for 20 years. But you got to, in those situations, you got to make sure you're putting enough money into the premium to keep the policy going.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, that happens where some people can run into problems.
It's kind of like almost an investment in that future value. So you're putting extra premiums into it for those future years.
Correct.
Maybe when you're not working, don't have the same income stream.
Yes.
But you've built up enough cash value in that policy to pay for those premiums for those ensuing years.
Yes.
Okay. And people can buy life insurance policies for themselves, and they can be the owner of it. And then sometimes we have trusts that might be owners of them. Like with an irrevocable life insurance trust. We used to see a lot of those in the old days when there was more federal estate tax exposure and things like that. So there are trusts we see sometimes that own policies.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
When a trust is there, the trust then owns the policy. So the policyholder, so to speak, or whoever life it's on, mm-hmm. it's technically not their policy anymore. It's, mm-hmm. it's the trust policy. But also, if you have a young family, I just spoke a young family, you don't want to name your 10-year-old and 12-year-old as your beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to make sure it's a stipulation there. They can't touch it till they're 25 or whatever, or it goes into a trust for the kids. So you just don't want to name... And you don't want to get the money when they're 16 either. So so it's gone by 18. You
so
know?
That's a great point, Tom. That's a great point. So life insurance policies have beneficiaries. So there's primary beneficiaries, and you can also name contingent beneficiaries.
Yes.
So do you work with attorneys in
certain
naming
cases,
beneficiaries?
The primary beneficiary is pretty easy. It's easier to usually the husband or the wife.
Mm-hmm.
The contingent, now, you know, say you have four children. You want to go equally to four children. They can set up a trust for mm-hmm. the kids for something like mm-hmm. that. Say you don't have any children. It's just you want it for your wife. Then a decision, do you name your brother, your sister, your brother-in-law, and so on. Who do you name in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a revocable, and say somebody names their sister as the contingent beneficiary, then you have two kids. Well, then you want to change that.
Right.
If it's irrevocable, then your sister's going to get it no matter what.
Right, right. So you want to make sure you're watching those beneficiaries and updating them.
Yes.
Same thing applies if I don't know what the rules are in Pennsylvania. If I've named a spouse as a beneficiary and now I've gotten divorced and I forgot, and I'm not, I've been married forever. If you get divorced, is that person, your ex-spouse, still the primary beneficiary? Do you know? Is that a legal question?
It's somewhat of a legal question. I've seen it both ways.
Okay.
So...
Because I had always heard, oh no, it'll go to that ex-spouse, but then, you know.
Yeah, I've seen it, and
So just make sure you're updating.
That way you avoid
your beneficiary
designations. That problem, yes.
Okay, and then one more question about like the whole life. So term is for a certain term. People probably can reshop term assurance, I suppose, from time to time. If at some point they bought very expensive insurance and now they don't need as much of it, they don't have as much of a need for that size of a policy.
Well, you cannot increase it
mm-hmm.
for the most part because one, you're older.
Mm-hmm.
Two, your health could be different.
Mm-hmm.
So say what you qualified for at 30, at 43, you may have some illness.
Okay.
There could be something that, and you're older,
mm-hmm.
and the older to get, the more expensive it costs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't avoid age,
mm-hmm.
Where that goes. But can you reduce it? I've seen it happen. That is very.
It doesn't happen
often. No.
Same question for whole life. If at some point you realize you don't need that large of a policy, could you reduce it? Because I've seen where people have had big insurance policies worrying about federal estate taxes.
Right.
And
right.
Now the federal estate tax exemption is so high that it's not really almost a conversation for the majority of people anymore. They might not need that big of a whole life policy that they're paying for. They could
come to the
agent and say, hey, is there any way I could reduce the premium on this? Instead of having a $5 million policy, what if we took it to a $2 million
right.
policy?
Yeah, that can be done. And sometimes you can even, if you say, I don't want to pay anymore, they have a built-up cash value. They can let that pay for the policy for X amount of years. So that's another option.
Okay. Tom, it's been very informative. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, pleasure being here.
And that's Tom Wolf with Wolf Insurance, and your website is?
www.wolfinsurance.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bob and Cindy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Bridger, for being here. Next week, I am going to take listeners' tax questions. That's listeners' tax questions. So, as you're getting ready for tax preparation season, you know, I'm going to leave the mic open for our callers. Oh, no, that's not next week. I apologize. Next week, I'm actually talking about cryptocurrency. I have a guest from Bitwise who's going to talk about cryptocurrency. I apologize. That's next week. And there's lots to learn about cryptocurrency. I am really looking forward to talking with our guest on that. So that'll be next week. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.